Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And of course, that also allows us to talk about the kingdoms of the world and how governments work and the way they're established and the way they fall apart. This week, we were sending people down to California, Northern California, during the recovery efforts of the fire that swept through. We destroyed or damaged over 200 buildings. I think there was 110 homes burned to the ground. And a lot of people just suddenly became homeless. Some of them had fire insurance, some of them didn't. But right now they have ashes. Everything, ashes, ashes, all fell down. And it swept through rather quickly. People didn't even have a chance to get clothes out or anything. It was just went from one house to the other, burned down churches and other buildings, and happened just overnight almost. And so they've been having a food kitchen in one of the churches, and we sent down supplies in the morning with the community, and we were kind of stunned at how unorganized the community was. There was the effort and desire to share, and it was going to go down and meet with another truck and take that truck was going on, and we couldn't find out where were they taking it and who was taking it. And, you know, we'd find little bits and pieces, but they didn't seem to even know where to take it to. And evidently it was a government service, and we're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to track it down. You can't get answers out of anybody. But anyway, somehow or other, the truck load of stuff from people all over the community disappeared. We can't find out what happened to it. Now, it may have been delivered, but the people who actually had been serving the meals, they didn't get it. And they just literally ran out of food and ran out of steam. But by then, some other outfits, I guess Verizon has a emergency vehicle, truck or something that serves meal, and they came, and they were serving meals up at the college. And what we're getting from people who do this on a regular basis, you know, such as Mercury One and other outfits that have this idea that it's our responsibility and they're not going to sit around and wait for FEMA to show up. They say that lots of people show up in the first week and they stick around long enough to get a lot of photo ops and then they disappear. And the fact is, this isn't like a flood where the house is flooded and then, you know, the waters recede and you go back in there and change the sheetrock and dry things out and start. There's nothing left of these homes but ashes. And they don't have anything to go back to. It's just gone. And so, you know, in a couple of weeks when they're not serving meals anymore, where are these people going to be? Well, they're going to be wherever they can be, but they probably need more help and a longer-term help. But then should we spend all our resources helping them? What kind of people are we helping? Well, we actually knew a lot of people in Weed, and actually a lot of the people that we had firsthand knowledge of, their homes weren't burnt. Our latest survey is none of them lost their homes. They were right in the path of the fire, but they didn't get burned. And so other people got homes burned. And one of the churches that they use didn't get burned, and it was the one that was putting on the food kitchen. And the food that our second truck, we took down ourselves. We weren't going through the chain that involved eventually, it was mostly people, but eventually it ended up into the hands of a government agency. And then it disappeared. We don't know what happened to it. Now, it may have gotten somewhere. It may be still en route somewhere, but they didn't have any more food to serve that night, and we thought they would be there before us, and they evidently weren't. And so we don't know where it is, and we're going to continue to investigate that and find out what happened. But there was a town that was near here that was completely overlooked, and we had some people that were contributing from our town, which is not really a town like most people think of. I mean, used to be more people lived in my house than in town, so it's not, when I say town, I don't want you thinking, you know, small city or something. Talking about a gas station and a post office, which is actually the same building. But the local community, some of them stuff went down on this disappeared truck, and some of it went with us because they didn't want to put it on that truck because they didn't know where it was headed. They were being responsible and saying, well, where is this going? Who is getting it? Who is receiving it? They wanted to give, but they wanted to give where it made sense to give. And so we packed up our own and put it in a van. Didn't quite fill the van. We took out the seats and everything, make room. And then we went through a town that was supposedly going to be contributing, but actually never was notified of the effort. And several hours later, after passing through that town, the van was pretty full. And it filled up rapidly. People coming out with buckets of dry goods and food. And clothes that were completely sorted by ages, 1, 2, 3, 4. And size, and shoes, and jackets. Because it was people who understand how to fulfill needs. And knew what was necessary. They had a little bit more, you know, they're country folk, and they have a little bit more common sense than you'll sometimes find in the cities, even small cities like Lakeview. But anyway, off they went. They got there, and still, as far as we know, the other truck hasn't shown up, and they were just really thankful for the food, and they know that there may be more help needed. They also had, which I've mentioned on other shows, they came to understand that, you know, here they are feeding these people who've lost everything, that are actually in pretty good spirits. I'm sure shock will set in. I mean, there's nothing they can do. They look at where their house used to be, and their yard used to be, and their garage used to be, and there's nothing left but ashes. And so somebody's offering them a meal and a place to sleep on their floor, and people are bringing in cots and beds and things like that. But then they're serving these meals, and there are other people in line. They're wondering, oh, did you lose your house too? No, I just heard that there was a free meal down here, and they just come for the free meal. And you think, like, are you crazy? Well, yes, they are crazy. They've been driven insane by society. They don't understand that there is no free lunch. Somebody's paying for this. They're buying, they're transporting food long distances, and they're preparing it for people who lost their homes, not for people who just want to go out and get a free meal. And so everybody is learning from this experience. And there's going to be a lot more lessons in the future. So anyway, I also had some new people joining the network. And the network is, we're doing, actually I had a call today. Somebody wanted to talk about Randy Lee, Richard Anthony, John Joseph. They mentioned several other names there, and I can't remember who they all were mentioning. But I know all those people, John Quaid and all these guys who were in this, you know, Book of 100s and tens, hundreds, and thousands, and writing about, you know, the lawful path and the ecclesia.org and all these people that have been around for years. And the fact is even though, like, the Book of 100s talks about the tens, hundreds, and thousands, the way it was written, it appeals to a certain kind of mentality. People who want to be free, who don't want people to be telling them what to do, don't want to be making rules for them. And I understand that feeling. The idea of liberty has been a long concern of people who have come here to America. But Christ didn't come to be free. Christ came to set others free. Christ didn't come for what he could get out of it. He came for what he could give. And if you're going to come in the name of Christ, that's the reason you have to come together. Not for what you can get, but for what you can give. not for what you can receive, but what you can share. You have to come to save others, not to save yourself. I mean, really, do you want to be in a foxhole with 10 survivalists when the beans run out, when there's no more bread? These are survivalists. They want to survive. That's their goal, is to survive. Their goal is not to help you survive. Their goal is that they want to survive. So really, you have allied yourself with the wrong spirit. And you don't want to do that. You want to look for people who want to serve others. And do it diligently and forgivingly. So anyway, that's an important safety tip when you're looking to congregate together. You don't want to be looking for people who want to impose ideas on you. You have a basic fundamental idea that you love your neighbor as yourself. You love righteousness. You love justice. You love mercy. You have to love mercy and justice or you won't have the balance. And we talked about that in a previous show. So anyway, somebody this week also brought up a concept of fundamental orders. And they also made a statement, all authority originates from God, even secular authority. Well, that's not true, and it is true. It's an oxymoron. And it depends on what you mean by secular authority. People say secular authority, they think you mean the government. But wait a minute. I thought America was a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, so the people are the government. Well, in a republic, that's true. But the United States is not a republic. It never was a republic. The United States, as a name, is an indirect democracy. You can tell that just by reading the Constitution. It was created, this indirect democracy was created to help guarantee a republican form of government. See, a republican form of government is a government where the leaders are representatives. They are not lawmakers. They do not make law for the individual. They may make law for certain things that they have the right to govern, but the individual is separate from its form of government. It's not connected to the administration of government. His rights are connected to those inalienable rights granted to him by God. That's a pure republic. But an indirect democracy is not a republic. It's a democracy. And it's where 51% of the people can elect somebody who can make laws for you, regulate you, force you to give what you produce to them. And that's really the only kind of government people know. But there is another form of government. And if you look in Black's Law Dictionary, you look up the word church, it's just defined as one form of government. It's a government where the leaders are titular. And if you look at the definition, early definition of a republic, the leaders are titular. They're in name only. They have no exercising authority over the individual. So how does such a government support itself? Free will offerings. Now I have just described the government established by Moses. Was supported by free will offerings. The government established by Jesus Christ, we call the church, is supported by free will offerings. What is their mission? Feed my sheep, care for my sheep, provide for the needy of my society. If the fire comes through and burns everybody's home, the whole network should come to their aid and not only give them food for a few days, but help them rebuild their homes. And all the people in the network that happen to live there where their homes are rebuilt, as instead of paying us back a loan, they would pay back the church to refund those resources that have been diminished by helping them out. And this way, the whole network absorbs the tragedy. And they are there for each other. They come to be there for each other. That's why they gather in church. Well, I'm not getting anything out of church, so I'm not going. It's the reason you go to church is for what you can give, to serve, not be served. Christ made that clear. If you're coming the other way around, you're not coming in the name of Christ. I don't care if you say Jesus or Yeshua. You're not doing it in the name of Christ unless you come to serve, because you're not doing it in the character of Christ. So anyway, that form of government, that one form of government called the church, is established by free will offerings, no contract, no corporation of the people, but there is a corporation of the ministers, and we call it the body of Christ, the corpus of Christ. And they have to do what Christ said to become that body, that His holy church body. They have to give up everything they own as a personal estate and own all things in common. That's only for the ministers, because the minister's job is to try to help you get back to that place where every man owns his own possessions and belongs to his own family. But those men who are set free in such a system must gather together with the purpose of caring about others. They have to. If they don't, they will not remain free. And they have not remained free because that is not the reason they've been gathering in the churches for almost 100 years. I mean, there was a slow transition. It wasn't a single day. But we've gotten farther and farther away. Somebody saying that they collect no benefits. All their kids are not sent to public school. They don't get Social Security. They don't get welfare. They don't get anything from the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. But who cared for their parents when their parents were aged and retired? Social Security sent them money every month, sent them a check. So this son who thought he had take no benefits took a benefit. He took it because he did not have to take care of his parents. The state did it. And how did the state do it? Because he had given, and his parents had given, a portion of their property to the state. You know, every time they earned money, 14% of it went to the state. They had to pay it to the state because they had signed up, and once they sign up, they have to pay that in, and they have to give it to Caesar, and then Caesar takes it and redistributes it. But unfortunately, Caesar has redistributed more than he had, and he is now broke, and there is no money in Social Security, so they borrow the money for that. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with that. Go read the article. Not so secure, Social Security. It's on newswithviews.com and it's on our website. Once you understand that the system is broke, you know that if I take any benefit, I take it from the future of my children and my neighbor's children who will have to pay it back. Because the system is bankrupt. So he didn't have to pay in as much to the support of his family, his parents. And I've had two people who should know better, could just read that and know, and they absolutely are in denial that the system of Corbin, of the Pharisees, that was making the word of God to none effect because they did no more ought for their parents, because they say they have given a gift to the temple. And they read these explanations, just read it. How many people do no more ought or very little for their parents because they are on Social Security? Social Security is a temple. Social Security Administration is a religious temple. It's how you fulfill your duty to God and your fellow man. And the God that you're fulfilling your duty to, that's the God of that temple. That's the ruling judge of that temple. That's the way it works. But it makes the word of God into none effect, so that people don't know how to deal with disaster. They don't know how to organize themselves and get food where it needs to be, when it needs to be there. They think somebody else will, I just do this and then somebody else will take care of it. But they're not. Because they're not really in a network where the responsibility is down there where the rubber meets the road. It's your responsibility to make sure that what you give gets to where it needs to go. I mean, how many times do we hear about charities? 90% of what they take in never goes to the poor. So anyway, people come up with different ideas on how to form governments. Now, how you form a government, if it's a government of Christ, it's formed by love, by actually exercising the responsibility of taking care of one another. That creates the bonds. That creates the network, the connections. You rule over yourself in righteousness, and therefore suddenly you become this free society in the heart of the Roman Empire, the U.S. Empire, the New World Order. Doesn't make any difference. You become this other society, this alternative. But you only do it by doing. You don't do it by signing a paper. You do it by doing, recognizing, being there for one another. What's the other way you form a government? All authority originates from God, even secular authority. And when it originated from God, it was put in the hands of every man and his family. But then every man and his family got together and made covenants with men round about them and saying, if you do this, I will give you this. And they make you go into debt. You create a corporate body and you go into debt to that corporate body. And when now your children are born $50,000 in debt because the whole system is in debt. And now you're a surety and your children are a surety and your children's children will be a surety for debt unless the system entirely collapses. Which, of course, when it does, most of you will not survive. Secular authority used to be in your hands. It was put there by God. And then you put it in the hands of others. You rejected God's way and put it in the hands of others. You want your rights back? Take back your responsibility. Gather together and start taking care of one another. Start being the faith emergency ministry auxiliary for one another. That's that simple. So anyway, somebody brought up another kind of government that was formed early on, 1638, and it was called the Fundamental Orders. And they think that somehow or other that this is a good plan. Of course, it's totally non-biblical, and we're going to take you through that step by step and show you that it's not a good plan and why it's not a good plan. It's kind of like if you look up on our YouTube, you'll see a video on Not My Tea Party. And of course, I'm not picking on the Tea Party people. I probably could, but that's not what it's about. There was a guy, Biazo, I think it is his name is, which is kind of an interesting name in itself, which is probably why I remembered it. Anyway, he did a skit where he pretended to be Thomas Paine, and he gives this rousing speech. He does a very good job, and everybody goes, yeah, that's America. That's what we're all about. You know, they all get very patriotic and glassy-eyed and everything. And if you actually listen to what he says, and that's what the video goes into, this guy is a totalitarian dictator. He has nothing to do with Thomas Paine. But it sounds good. But people don't listen to that. They listen to the meter and the tone and the emotion. It's unbelievable, but it's the way people think. But the Fundamental Orders, like I said, were written in 1638. And I go through what they were. And supposedly Thomas Hooker, which was a famous pastor or reverend, he speaks of the foundation of authority is laid in the free consent of the people. And a lot of people don't understand that, free consent. You know, taxation without representation is not what it says in the Declaration of Independence. It's taxation without consent, and that's individual consent, not a collective consent. Because you can't have a collective consent to waive your rights unless you've already waived your rights to the collective. And when you waive your rights to the collective, you've become the common purse, common purse of rights. And the Bible tells you that the common purse runs towards evil. You're not supposed to have a common purse of rights or a common purse of money or golden calf. But anyway, this fundamental orders, it does talk about God. It talks about, you know, the gospel. It talks about all these things. But do they really know the gospel? Do they really know what they're talking about? Are they actually establishing a government that is biblical? A lot of people tell me that the Constitution is biblical and that it's, you know, ordained by God. No, it is not. Wrote a whole book on that. Show you that it was so unpopular with the people, they would have voted it down had it even been put to the people. Because we the people doesn't mean the people of the states. It means we the people of the United States, and the United States didn't exist until the document was created. So if you want to know who we the people are, you just look down at the bottom of the document and their names are there. And eventually the states signed on to this and they elected congressmen and senators and other federal employees, and they became we the people of the United States. The citizens of the individual states were not a party to the Constitution, didn't want to have anything to do with it, and would have voted it down, had they. But through this sleight of hand in history, people just get all confused about it and don't know really what's going on. So anyway, on On January 14th, following, actually, they have two dates here, because this was about the time they changed from the Julian calendar, or at least some people did, to the Gregorian calendar. And we talk about it in the article. You can find the article at preparingyou.com, preparingyou.com, and just look up fundamental orders, and you should be able to find it. But the fundamental orders, at least that's the name that was normally given to it, nowhere in what they call this great document is there a reference to our dread sovereign or our gracious Lord the King. So they're seeing this as an independent document for government, but it actually is not all that independent. And we'll talk about that in Puritan congregations and the Iroquois Constitution and the Mayflower Compact when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break. We'll be right back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you.
Anyway, we were talking about Iroquois Constitution. These are some of the, and the Mayflower Compact and all this stuff. And I have an article also up on the Mayflower Compact, which is actually part of a book I've been writing. And people don't understand what the Mayflower Compact was at all. I've heard pastors stand up there and said, this is one of the first example of where people gave the power of government to their elected officials, as if that was somehow good. That's actually bad. That's anti-biblical. You know, Pharaoh had the power of government. Nimrod had the power of government instead of the people. Moses gave that power back to the people. Christ gave that power back to the people. That's where it belongs. If you centralize that power, you corrupt men like Saul and Rehoboam and all the others. Even David was corrupted by it, but he repented. But that's rare. So you don't want to give power to men to make choices for you. One of the things on the Facebook that we were talking about with a fellow is that he was talking about these people who are get elected and they're doing things that he says we have no choice about. Well, of course you have no choice about, because you gave up the right to choose when you gave them the power to take away from your neighbors so that you could have free benefits, like take care of my parents so I don't have to do it, educate my children so I don't have to do it, give me health care so I don't have to pay the doctor. The more you do that, the less free you're going to be. The more you do it for yourselves, not just for yourself, but for yourselves, for each other, caring about each other's right as much as you care about your own, the closer you will come to freedom, because that's the nature of Christ. Now, in this document, the Fundamental Orders, there's no mention of this, our dread sovereign or our gracious Lord and King. But in Mayflower Compact, there was. And why? Not because the pilgrims wanted it in there, but because the pilgrims were about to be abandoned by what the pilgrims called the strangers. You know, most of the people in the Mayflower were not pilgrims. They were strangers. They were subjects to the crown. They didn't think highly of the pilgrims. The pilgrims were catching a ride to a particular location to start a settlement. And these guys were coming along too. But they landed in the wrong place. And I believe that that was because the captain was bribed. And men showed up because other men were seeking to get the pilgrims to set up a colony for them. Have one company finance them over there, but another company reap rewards. It was a devious plan, and it ended in disaster, and half of the pilgrims died. But the strangers on board the Mayflower began to recognize something's up. They knew these guys were plotting something, and they were not fond of the king, but these strangers were. And they were going to leave them, and they would have left them quicker, except for they thought there were going to be two boats, and one boat kept going back, if you remember. So that now they only had one boat, and the strangers were going to leave the pilgrims. Abandon them with no boat. And the contacts they hoped to have made weren't there. They weren't on the beach like they thought they were going to have. They had moved way inland. There's a whole story, and we explain it in the book. And so the pilgrims were trying to talk these guys into not leaving, not taking the boat, not abandoning them. And they basically, the only way they could do it is to sign the Mayflower Compact, recognizing the authority and that they were subjects. And then the stranger said, well, we'll stay. We'll stick it out. And that was all the agreement was about, sticking it out together so that we did not abandon one another. And they need to assure the strangers of their loyalty. It had nothing to do with creating a government that could make choices for you. They were coming to America to start making choices for themselves. You can start doing that right now by gathering together in the ways of Christ. And then maybe when your house is burned down, we'll show up for you. Because we know that you seem to be pledging the idea that you will show up for us. I have to say seems to be, because we don't have any contract. It's still by faith, open charity, and the perfect law of liberty. If we read this order that talks about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who we now profess. Do you profess Christ? Do you really? Then you must be doing things the way Christ was doing them. See, if you're just saying, Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what Christ said, then your profession is a lie. But anyway, in section 1 we see it is ordered, sentenced, and decreed that there shall be yearly 2 general assemblies of courts, the second Thursday in April, the other the second Thursday in September. Following the first shall be called the Court of Election. And it goes on and on. I won't read the whole thing. But in essence, we see something being agreed to, something being imposed, ordered, sentenced, and decreed. This is the terms they use. And so maybe we should back up a second here and look at the definition of a freeman, libera homo, a freeman lawfully competent to act as a juror. That's the definition. An allodial proprietor as distinguished from a vassal or feudatory. You see, now everybody in America, they're feudatory. They're vassals. They don't own their land. They have to pay a tribute tax, an excise tax on their land. Now, I'm not telling you not to pay that tax. You owe that tax. You are in bondage and you owe that tax. And you need to pay Caesar what you owe him. I just want you to understand that so that you can understand how you got there, so you can start doing something that has worked in the past to set you free. And it isn't rebel with firearms and guns. I don't have anything against firearms and guns, but it's not about rebellion. It's about conforming to the ways of Christ. You see, before the Norman Conquest in 1066, the people were the fountainhead of justice. The Anglo-Saxon courts were composed of large numbers of these freemen who owned their own land, untaxed. And it was them that administered the law by sitting on the juries and deciding fact and law. They weren't lawmakers. They knew what the law was. Be just, don't covet, don't steal, don't rob, don't murder. And they sat on the jural tribunals and decided who has done this and who has not. And there was a way to appeal up to make sure you got justice and were not being ramrodded on the local basis. So in my reading of the fundamental orders below in this page, you'll find them. We have them copied at the very bottom of the page. If you go to Preparing You, you can see it. We see the phrase magistrates and other public officers, magistrates being judges, governors shall be chosen and sworn according to an oath, and shall have the power to administer justice according to the laws here established. They're establishing law in this document. They're not depending on the law of nature and nature's God. They're not depending on the Ten Commandments. They're going to make new laws. This is what Cain did. This is what Nimrod did. And he goes on to say, according to the laws here established, which choice shall be made by all that are admitted freemen and have taken the oath of fealty. Another oath. What did Jesus say about swear? Swear not. What did James say? Above all else, stop the taking of oaths. These magistrates and governors do not sound to me like men who are titular, but men who exercise authority. If they were titular, you're talking a republic. If they're not titular, if they exercise authority, you're talking something else. Even before those phrases, it talks about people desiring to associate and conjoin, join together, incorporate, and become one public state or commonwealth. This is describing the one purse that we read about in Proverbs. That one purse that we read about in Proverbs is a one purse of rights. And that one purse of rights runs towards evil, according to Proverbs. They do talk about according to the truth of the gospel, but whose version, whose private interpretation of the truth of the gospels? What is the truth? They talk about this indirect democracy having laws, rules, orders, decrees, as shall be made, ordered, and decreed by men. That's Nimrod again. That's Cain again. That's you have to choose this man and give him the power, or men, give him the power to make laws for you. You're not free if he can make laws for you. You're a subject. In the kingdom of God, there are only 10 laws, 10 basic laws, and they hinge upon 2 laws, which Christ lists off: to love the Father and one another. That simple. In the world, you have to love the Father, but he's the Father of the nation. In the kingdom of God, there are only those 10 laws. In the kingdom of the world, there are hundreds of thousands of laws. The kingdom of God leaves the civil law. Now, civil law, what is that? Roman law, civil law, and Roman civil law are the same systems of jurisprudence. But there actually is another civil law, because there's more than one kind of civil rights. And that is, you know, you have the civil law, which is the law of contract, but you also have the natural law. When you wanted to try somebody in Israel, they had the right to decide who was going to be the judge. And this is what Bordier is. He says, well, I'll take him, and I'll take him, and I'll take him. And they had to do this in order to keep peace. And the other guy gets to choose some of those too, and that forms a jury, and that jury decides fact and law. But the court convenes by consent of those people who are bringing the action. God leaves the civil law in the hands of the people, individually, from day to day. Yeah, and you can get injustice that way, which is why God also created an appeals court out of those men whose business it was to be charitable. Because that's who you want on your appeals court, because they're the most forgiving people of society. People individually hold the right of the civil law in their own hands. They talk about, you can't take the law into your own hands. Well, that's where it came from. Government wasn't born with the right to decide for their neighbors. It has to be granted by the neighbors to the government. And they do this most often by offering gifts, gratuities, and benefits, which is another item we go through. But let's stick with this. The kingdom of God leaves that civil law in the hands of the individual people. But in section 5 of the fundamental orders, we can see that they, ordered, sentenced, decreed, were establishing that some people were making law for others, which is the usurpation of God, who is supposed to be the lawmaker of the people, for the people and by the people. And then, so you have these basic fundamental 10 commandments, just like you had 69, I think it was, in Egypt, the Ma'at. And these are basic things: don't steal, don't rob, don't covet, don't lie, don't injure. These are the basic laws. How do you add upon that? You know, Tacitus said, the more laws, the more corrupt society. Well, America has probably more laws than almost any other country in the world. So, is it the most corrupt nation? Well, according to Tacitus, it must be. In section 7 of the fundamental orders, we see that they were forming a democracy where those, quote, chosen for that time that have the greatest number of papers, they were to write the names on a piece of paper, written for them, shall be deputies to that court, which gave power to some who had taken the oath of fidelity. So again, what we're seeing is the centralization of power. Christ did just the same. He gave the power back to the people. In the government of God, you have to decide how much you want to pay in taxes and do so. How much you want to share and do so. You decide under the perfect law of liberty. But know this, if you don't do a good job, nobody will be there for you. Nobody should be there for you because you're slothful in the ways of God. In section 8, we see the order, sentence, and decree, ordered, sentence, and decreed that the number of freemen shall have the power of the whole town to give their votes and allowances to all such laws and orders as may be for the public good, and unto which is said towns are to be bound. This is not setting people free. This is binding people, that somebody has the power to issue these orders, sentences, and decrees, and bind whole towns to what one or a few men think is the public good. That's not free. There's nothing in this document about really setting you free. A few, you know, nice sweet words about Jesus and God, and then everybody kind of blows away. They don't really read this and think about what it's saying, which is why the whole world is in the trouble. They don't read the fine print. They don't even read the print. That's why we're so adamant. If you join the network, you need to read the materials that are available there in the network, so you find out where we're coming from. And then once you've taken the time to find out where we're coming from, then you can start adding what you think might be to our advantage. Don't come on the group trying to tell everybody what to do, as if nobody else has done any studying. That shows disrespect. That shows that you don't really care about us. You care about your opinion. I'm not picking on you for doing that. I want you to see that so you can overcome that and come with a better approach. Now, if I came into your house, I might come in there and start telling you what you ought to do. I find out what you want to do. I'm in your house. I'm a guest. It's simple. Simple courtesy. In section 9, it says, it's ordered, sentenced, and decreed. Again, this is all about ordered, sentenced, and decreed, that the deputies of those chosen shall have power and liberty to appoint a time and a place of meeting together before any general court, you find the party or parties, and to escheat or levy the same as he does other fines. He can levy. He can take money from you. He can force you to contribute. Levites couldn't do that. The early church couldn't do that. Nimrod could do that. Saul did that. When Saul did it, Samuel came in and says, your kingdom will not stand because you did this foolish thing. You levied a sacrifice. You levied a contribution upon the people. That was the big sin of Saul. By section 10, we see again, order, sentence, and decreed. Said general court shall consist of supreme power of the commonwealth. Why is somebody seeking liberty even promoting fundamental orders? Somebody else has supreme power. Not God, somebody, some group of people. And they only shall have power to make laws. So there's not 10 commandments, there could be 12 or 20 or 2,000 commandments, because they can make laws or appeal them, to grant levies, to admit the freemen, dispose of lands undisposed of, and several towns or persons, and also shall have power to call either courts or magistrates or any other person whatsoever into question for any misdemeanor, and may for just causes displace or deal otherwise according to the nature of the offense, and also may deal in any other matter that concerns the good of the commonwealth. It's a common purse, commonwealth. Except the election of magistrates, which shall be done by the whole body of freemen. They're talking a democracy here, where the majority can rule over the minority and elect men who will exercise authority, make laws, control your life. Why do you need to make more laws? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not hurt. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. These are simple. It's got everything covered. If someone does something wrong, you bring a charge against them. You have to sign, without bearing false witness, that this person violated your rights, stole something, took something, kept you from something that belonged to you. When you bring that, then your fellow men, brothers, come there and say, hey, did you do this? Did you take his cow? Did you take his sheep? Did you rob? Because if you violated that law, we can make war on you. We have to make sure that we do this justly. And of course, we will withdraw if you make recompense. You see, it's already built in the law, but everybody has to be concerned with the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Who said that now? Who said that we were supposed to be concerned with that? Jesus Christ. That's the way his government works. Everybody has to be concerned about the rights of their neighbor. Section 11. A man's property is not his own. And if the commonwealth hath agreed, and I'm quoting here, upon any sum or sums of money to be levied upon the several towns within this jurisdiction, your neighbor by vote can take from neighbor in violation of the law of God to not covet. Now, there's nothing in the fundamental orders that would make us think that they're talking about a free government, and that should be readily recognized. Free society is operated by the perfect law of liberty through faith, hope, and charity, where every man and woman rules their own hearts and minds by virtue, and the people stand fast in the liberty of Christ, where his truth has set them free. And that's kind of the gist of it. There's actually a lot more at the beginning of the article. You know, I go into not only the definition of free men, but other aspects of that free consent. Like I said, the Declaration of Independence does not say taxation without representation. It says taxation without consent. Now, you should be taxed and you should be paying the taxes because you've been slothful and therefore you should be under tribute. But someday this system will collapse and you need to have the alternative ready to go. So right now you may have to pay your tally of bricks, but you need to glean in the field at night for your benefits. You need to start taking care of one another. This will change you, and you need changing. This is repentance, and you need to repent. You have needs of repentance. So underneath this, we have links to articles on community, international community, types of communities, ethics, laws in society, ancient benefactors, etc. We also have our FEMA and education, but we also have the Living Network links, which I encourage everybody to join the Living Network. Now, joining the Living Network doesn't just mean joining an email group. You actually have to pick a contact minister or a minister of record, start forming those free assemblies, congregations, start contributing to the effort, but police your ministers. Make sure that they are taking those funds and using them to strengthen the poor. To strengthen the poor, including the fragile poor congregations. We want to strengthen the congregation. That means we want to find more people who want to live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty and are willing to put their money where their mouth is, their energy where their mouth is, and make it happen. And when you make it happen, you are changed by it. So anyway, I encourage everybody to maybe look at that and look at the website. There are a lot of links on there. I see that some of the links are, I just put this together in the last day, and I see some of the links are not complete. But we have links to civil law and Corbin and lots of other things. But learn how a free government operates, but then practice and work at the way in which it operates, which is by faith, open charity, and the perfect law of liberty, where you begin to learn what it means to care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. And you will be changed in that striving. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.